You know, the Lord has been doing so many things, and the devil has been fighting it. How many have felt the enemy just coming against you, even in the last few days? Anybody? Last year, yes. And all the things that God, you know, that God has been doing, we still have that battle with the enemy. But Paul here begins to speak some really good, encouraging things to us in Ephesians 3. Listen to this. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promises in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, of the mystery, from the beginning of the world which has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we just thank you for another day. God, and Lord, I believe every time we come in here, Lord, that we are all, Lord, desiring you to speak to us. Lord, give us something this morning, God, that we can take with us. Lord, do something, speak something, Lord, reveal something to us this morning, Lord, that will just begin to work in our life. Lord, that we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. Father, this morning we ask you to take, Lord, what we have, Lord, and just begin to speak to your people. Lord, make something clear to us today, God. Give us relevant revelation, Lord, and we're going to give you praise for it already in Jesus' name. During Paul's imprisonment in Rome, he was under house arrest, and this is when he was writing this. He was free to move around the house during the day, but at night, he would be chained to a soldier. But despite it all, he was still housebound. He was stuck. And, you know, we kind of had that similar feeling when, we, you know, we went through the COVID thing, you know, and they wanted everybody to remain, you know, in their homes. And it was a difficult thing that, you know, a lot of people are still dealing with. Even the children that going to school, you know, from not being in school, they're going through difficult things. And we see this, and it was because we understand, you know, and I'm reading this, and I begin to see, you know, Paul here in this situation and how that he must have felt. Because it's a terrible feeling to feel like you're stuck. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a terrible feeling, you know, when you feel like you are stuck in a job that you don't like. Or maybe you're stuck with no job. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a bad relationship. Or maybe you feel like you're stuck and you don't have any relationship at all. You know, and we find out that many times you get to a place in your spiritual life that you feel stuck. That you feel, you know, that, you know, well, Lord, I've been praying and I've been seeking God, but it's just not hearing from God, or God's not moving the way that I want to see God move. Anybody ever been there? Not hearing from God, not just not seeing the things that I want to see God do. And we go through periods like that. But we have to understand that this is often called being a prisoner of the moment. Anybody listening to me? That I thought about this the other day. Here's Paul, and he's talking about being a prisoner. And we understand. I looked it up the other day. There was a definition for the phrase prisoner of the moment. And it said the state where an opinion is based on things that are happening right now. Somebody listen to that. the state where an opinion is based on things that are happening right now. People who believe that their current situation is a sign of their ultimate outcome. How many has ever get to the point that you feel like it's never going to get any better? It's never going to change. I've been waiting and I've been waiting and it feels like you're stuck in that moment. And this is how discouragement will come in. This is how despair or depression will come in. I've seen people that, you know, have gone and taken their own lives because they reached a point in their life that they just felt hopeless, like there could be no way out. And that's just a lie of the devil. Because we realize, church, according to the word of God, that there is a remedy. Paul found the remedy. He recognized that he was not a prisoner of the moment, but he said that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody help me there. In other words, church, his outcome was already ordained of God. You know, that's the wonderful thing about it. So when you feel, when you come to a point that maybe you feel like you're a prisoner of the moment, like those things that are happening right now, that it's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. We have to understand, church, that we have the remedy to that. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But he does have the power to change our situation. And he wants us to understand, church, that once we accept him into our life, he comes in and he's in control. He's in control of our destiny. He's in control of our tomorrow. He's in control of 2023 for Grace Tabernacle right here. And just because it's difficult today doesn't mean that tomorrow is going to be the same. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Bible says to everything that there is a season. A time to live and a time to die. A time to laugh and a time to cry. We realize this, church. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many realize, church, this morning that despite the way things look right now, you're not a prisoner of the moment. God is still in control. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, I love this, church. As I'm beginning to read this, I'm beginning to see what Paul's talking about. And he goes on in verse 2. He said, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me towards you, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And he's talking here about the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And he goes on, and he received a revelation of grace, unmerited favor. And this goes for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. This is what Paul was trying to talk about. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where your life has been. It doesn't matter how your past has been. Once you come to Jesus, there's that opportunity, church. The grace of God is there for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what you've been through or where you were born or who you were born to or the things that you went through in the past 20, 30, or 40 years of your life. Jesus Christ is there to make a change. And I find out, church, whose faith is in him. What's it say in verse 7 here? Goes on a little further. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. Paul was amazed that he, who he considered the least of the saints, He's saying, me, of all people, would be given the opportunity to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. It would have made more sense to him to, you know, been sent to the Jews, because here's somebody who was an expert in the law of Moses, and he did preach to the Jews, but his main calling was to the Gentile people. And this was because God had given him that revelation of grace. That this was not just confined to a certain group of people, but this was made available to everyone that would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Yet this mystery, church, which he was talking about, which had been concealed, was now revealed by the Spirit. How that the eternal life could be secured not by works, lest any man should boast, but our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And it goes on in verse 9 and begins to talk about the fellowship of the ministry, the life that we have in Jesus. united with other believers through knowledge of him. And this is something, you know, that we were talking about here, I think, last week, how that God is trying to reveal himself to everyone in this church. Everybody listening to me. And the only way that he can reveal himself to us, church, is if we seek him. If you seek me, you'll find me. Knock, it will be open. Ask, it shall be given. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his right. All these things shall be added unto you. God is trying to get you and I as individuals in this body to begin to seek after him and allow him to begin to come in, church, and develop that relationship with each and every one of us. Like the bond between people who grow up together. I have a bond between my brother and my sister. We don't see each other very often, but when we do see each other, it's like we saw each other yesterday. We can come in, church, and we can come in, and we haven't sung together in years, but yet we can come together, and all of a sudden we can just start singing some of the old songs that we used to sing, and it's there. Well, this is something that God's wanting that I believe Grace Tabernacle to understand in 2023, that God is able to do great things when his people come together in unity. The enemy will come, and he will love to come and bring discord, because he knows if he can bring discord, he can bring discouragement. All those disses, you know, discouragement and distress and disappointments and depression, all those things that, you know, he loves to bring into our life. But if we come together, church, and really everyone in this place begin to seek after God with one mind and one accord and have one vision, I believe that God is going to take this church and do great things with Grace Tabernacle this year. Oh, my. I like what 1 Peter says in one of my favorite scriptures, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord. This is something here, church, that what the grace of God, that unmerited favor that you and I have, can be multiplied through knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when we get into our word and we get into a place of prayer and come into that relationship with him, all of a sudden it's like a bond between people who share a secret. The word here for the Greek word for mystery here is mysterion, which means a secret that is no longer closely guarded, but now shared with others. How many has ever had somebody share a secret with you? Anybody ever have somebody come and share a secret just with you? Didn't you feel good that they chose you to share that secret with? And you know, I've been many people over the years that have come to me and told me things, you know, in private as their pastor. And there have been many times that they've told me things that I never even shared with my wife. Uh-oh, she heard that. Now, my wife is one of those people that she doesn't like secrets. She wants to know everything. So when I get home today, she's probably going to start asking me, what's some of the things that people have told you that you didn't tell me? Somebody relating to this? Isn't that strange, though, when you know that there are people that have a secret that you want to know about it? Yes. What's going on? What are you whispering about? What are you talking about? You can come across people that were just having an ordinary conversation, and you come up and you're trying to get in on it, and you're trying to hear what was going on. Well, that's the way that we should be with God, isn't it? If God's got great things in this word for us, church, that he wants to reveal to us that have been concealed, now revealed, that's called revelation. Come on. How many believe that God wants to give us relevant revelation that affects us right here, right now? So I believe, church, that if God's got things in here that have been a mystery or a secret, I think that it should cause us to hunger and thirst after those things. I got to find out what he's talking about here. I got to find out some of the things that he's got for me that I haven't received yet, that I don't know about yet, that he has in store for me. Does anybody feel that way? Pastor, I believe that God's got some good things for me that he's wanting to do in my life, and I want to see those things come to pass. I want to see those things revealed in my life. Well, God, the only way, church, that's going to happen is if you get to the point that you begin to seek God for those things. God, there's things in here that you're wanting to show me. God, there's things that you're trying to tell me. God, there's direction that you're trying to give me, and I want to know what it is. Boy, to the intent. There's a reason for this. When it says here to in verse 10, to the intent. This was revealed to Paul to the intent. What was revealed to Paul? The grace of God and how that it was for everybody. How that the good things of God, all these things in this book are for each and every one that has faith in him. Come on, somebody help me. See, the thing of it is, the problem is a lot of times we don't know all the things that God has for us. So we settle for less. We, a lot of times people don't realize that, wait a minute, you don't have to be sick. Or you don't have to stay sick. Or you don't have to stay broke. Come on, somebody. Or you don't have to stay oppressed or depressed. How many's ever come across somebody who enjoyed it? They weren't ready to come out of it yet. I have prayed for people that I knew that I was wasting my time because they were enjoying their mess. Oh, my goodness. Because he gave them something to complain about. It gave them, oh, my, quiet in here this morning. We starting off the new year like this, preacher? Sometimes you got to hear it, church, to realize it. Oh, my God. Sometimes, you know, that God's people, they can get into a point, you know, where they enjoy feeling sorry for themselves. Well, I believe, church, this is not the year to feel sorry for yourself. I believe this is the time of the year, church. This 2023 is the time. We talked about this Wednesday night. There are some things you've got to leave behind in 2022. I hope that you'd left them behind. I hope that your little pity party, you left it behind. I hope you're grumbling and complaining, you left behind in 2022. I'm hoping that you're coming into 2023 with a praise. Oh, my. I don't want to come into this year, church, giving the devil any kind of leeway, any kind of room in my, make no place for the devil. You come into this year complaining and grumbling and treating it like you did last year, it'll be just another year. But you got to realize you're not a prisoner of the moment. Oh, my God. There's a remedy here. Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ has come and set me free. I'm not a prisoner of my moment. To the intent, there's a reason for this to be revealed. Listen to what 1 Peter says here. Oh, this is interesting because I'm reading something here in Ephesians first. Let me read this one more time. To the intent, now unto the principalities in power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Yes, well, what's this saying, Pastor? Think about that. Verse 10, this is powerful. Because I'm reading over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Did you hear that? So there's a reason here that God is revealing, wants to reveal himself to the church. Because God wants us, church, to go forward and begin to operate in the things that God has for us. Amen. Oh, my God. That the power of God can work through the church in such a great way that even the angels and demons take notice. Did you hear me? I'm reading this the other day, and I'm thinking, I want this. I want God to move in this church this year. Oh, I know this is unusual. This is strange. I want God to work in this church, in this, in Grace Tabernacle. I want God to work in my life. I want God to work in your life this year in such a great way that even angels and demons take notice. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, did you read this when I read it in Ephesians 10, to the intent that principalities and powers and heavenly places, that talks about over here in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is talking about the demonic inspired attacks that we face every day. Come on, somebody. So what is it saying here in verse 10? It's telling us here, church, that God wants to work in such a way in our lives that even the devil knows what God is doing. Is that okay with anybody? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we look at the church and we say, well, we got to be a witness and, you know, we got to let God work in our life to such a way that the outside world sees God working in our life. This is deeper than that. Anybody else seeing this? Church, this is deeper than that. God's saying, I want the principal, I want those in heavenly places. I want the angels. I want the demons. I want the devil to even see what I'm doing in your life. I got to tell you something. We're dealing with things on a daily basis in this world that are not just happenstance. Not just people, not just circumstance, not just one of those things, not just fate. Is this okay with anybody? There's a battle going on, a spiritual battle that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. The devil is mad. He knows his time is short. He knows Jesus is coming soon. He's trying to do as much damage as he possibly can do. And much of the stuff that we're experiencing, much of the stuff, the heinous things that you're hearing about on the news, this is demonic-inspired work. So you know what, church? I believe that we see that. But I believe, church, that God wants to work in the church. Isn't that what he said in verse 10? That to the intent it might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I believe, church, that God wants to work in us in such a way that even those in the supernatural, the angels and the demons and the devil himself knows that God is moving. Oh my! Come on, somebody. I want the devil to see God moving at Grace Tabernacle. I want the devil. Oh, is this okay? This is talking about taking you from knowing about him to actually knowing him in the power of his might. Well, let me go back to Acts chapter 19. I'm hurrying. Acts chapter 19, if you have your Bibles. I just want to read something real quick here if I can't. Because it's talking about Paul. And when it starts off in 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passing through the upper coast came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And Paul comes in and brings the Holy Ghost with him. And they begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he spoke to them and preached to them. And he preached in the synagogue. And then he went out and he preached in school buildings. And he began to speak in the school buildings. And it continued there for about 2 years. He's talking about, this is Ephesus. If you notice, we're reading Ephesians chapter 3. This is Ephesus. And God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, and the diseases from them and the evil spirits went out of them. So this is telling us here, church, this is what he's trying to get across to the Ephesians. This is what he's trying to get across to Grace Tabernacle this morning. That this is something here that when Paul came into a place, the power of God was working through him in such a way that it was evident. There were people that were being healed. There were people that were being set free. The demons and the devils were coming out of people. And it was to the point that they would take his hankies. They would take his aprons when he was working and come in and take his, and they had faith that if they took those hankies and if they took those aprons, that they would be healed. We got prayer cloths up here. We've seen God working through these prayer cloths. You can take these home with you if you want. I prayed over every one of them. I've anointed them with oil. You take them home. You put them under your pillow and you'll have a good sleep. You've got a condition in your body. Take one of those home with you if it is a point of contact by faith. God, I believe that through faith, your word declares if there's any sick among them, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith and they will be saved and they will be healed. Come on, somebody help me. So he's going and he's doing all those things. And there was a certain group of Jews, exorcists, who took themselves to call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, we adjure. These young men, they were seven sons of a chief priest named Sceva. And they thought that they were going to get in on this, and they thought that they would come and try and begin to cast out devils. They seen Paul doing it, so let's do it ourselves. So they get a hold of a maniac. And they come, and these seven brothers, they come against that, and they begin to pray against the devils that were in this lunatic. And they said, we come against you by Jesus and by the name of Jesus and by the Paul, the Jesus that Paul. And all of a sudden, that the demons that were in that man turned on them, attacked them, sent them running out of there naked. How many know the devil will leave you with nothing? Come on, somebody. He will strip you. He will rob you. He will take everything that you have spiritually, physically, financially. You can't give him an inch. He'll take a mile. He wants it all. But just think about this, church. They came against that. And listen to this. And the evil spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? He attacked them, sent them out of there, running to their houses naked and wounded. And it was known among the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Come on, somebody help me here. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There were people that were coming to God through seeing the devil working. You know why? Because they realized, God wanted to show them that the power of God was much greater than the power of Satan. This is why, church, that Paul came and did what he did. Because I'll show you what the devil will do if you're not in that right place. See, there was a difference here. Even the demons knew the difference. Are you listening to me this morning? Even the demons that was in this man knew the difference. He said, wait a minute. He said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? And he tore him to pieces. Come on, somebody. This is why that the enemy has his way a lot of times in our lives. This is why that he's able to come and make. Because you know what, church? Because there's a difference between those that just speaking it and those that are just talking it and those that are actually walking it. There's a difference, church, between those that are proclaiming it and those that know have that relationship with God. I'm talking about that everyday Jesus. That place that you come to, you have fellowship. This is the mystery of the fellowship. There's power. Come on, somebody help me. How many realize there's power in that relationship with God? This is why that he wants you praying every day. This is why that he wants you to get in your word every day. There is power in your relationship. That when you do, church, come against these things, you will have power in the name of Jesus. I command that to stop. Oh, I'm sitting there last night watching that good old football game. Left that behind. And you know what, my wife was complaining about me. Somebody was even kind enough to invite me to come to their house and watch the game. Shara, Randy. Oh, but my wife's not going to allow me to go in somebody's house and watch the game the way I conduct myself. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I finally came to a point. I said, God, help me. I don't like the way I feel. And from then on, I'm able to sit there and watch that bizarre ending and not even say anything. Oh, my wife and Christian, they were laughing and carrying on, having a wonderful time. And I'm just sitting there tranquil. Holy Spirit had tranquilized me. But this is what we're talking about, church. Why do we allow the enemy? Do you realize, church, how many little things that the enemy will take, just little things like that, to upset you for, what, 3.5 hours? That's the Holy Spirit activated. That was the only thing I could think of when it was over. I wasted 3.5 hours on that. I'm leaving that behind. Anybody else? I'm leaving that behind. I know. I got a new team. Texas Christian University. How about that? Woo! God on that. He's even got Christian in there. So, oh, somebody help me. I'm trying to make a point here, church. I want us to understand that God is wanting the world to see the difference. God is wanting those even in high powers to see the difference. God is wanting the church to manifest the power of God in a day like we're living in today, like we haven't before. Or maybe like we did years ago, but maybe the power or the fire has gone out. I believe that God is trying to restore the fire. God is trying to bring a revival. God is trying to stir the church. God is trying to get us back to the altars and back on our knees and back to a place that I recognize that God is wanting to work through my life. I want the devil to see he's got no power here, got no authority here. Devil ain't got no hold on me. Come on, somebody. Even the demons, church, they realized those who were trying to use the name of Jesus just to further their agenda, because there's people out there today, you know, that will come and proclaim that they're Christians, but their fruits don't bear witness. Come on, somebody help me. This is what we're talking about this year, isn't it? That this is going to be the most productive year of our lives. Somebody claiming that with me. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to multiply. I'm going to produce this year. And this is the kind of power, church, that God wants the church to possess. Knowledge created through the fellowship. Do we understand this is what communion is about? We're getting ready to have communion here in just a few moments. And even participating in communion. We do show his death until he comes. Do we understand that? We need to let the devil know by the way that we live our life that we get it. That we have power. We have unmerited favor. We have faith. We have supernatural wisdom and knowledge. All because Jesus came and gave his life for us that we might live. Boy. Let me go back to Ephesians for just a minute here, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ with passage knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. These are things that God is revealing to the church. He wants you to know just how much that he loves you. And as we get this church, we will begin to be full of the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody help me. We got to understand, church, the power that works in us to produce exceeding and abundantly above that which we ask or think. We're going to have the most productive year ever, church. Let's start by letting even the angels and the demons know that I am not a prisoner of the moment. The blood of Jesus Christ has set me free to the intent that I might show forth his glory in his power until he comes. We get in this morning. This is what it's all about. This is what Paul was trying to tell the Ephesians. This is what God is wanting us to know. Do you know what it was with Ephesus? Ephesus was full of demonic power. of satanic. It was witchcraft and the occult and idol worship. It was full of that. Paul was trying to show them the difference between that and the real power of God. We got a world like this morning, church. We got a world that dabbles in the occult, in the supernatural, and witchcraft. You see it every time you turn your TV on. There's movies and there's TV shows that are produced and that are trying to perpetrate the supernatural. It's time that the church lets the world in. It's time that the church lets the supernatural see. It's time that the world the church lets the angels and the demons and even Satan himself see that there's people who are wanting and desiring, seeking after God, and a church that wants to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in the last day. I want the power of God working in this place. Anybody else? I come over here early this morning and I was praying, Lord, this year I want you to send in the lost and save them. I want you to send in the sick and heal them. I want you to send in those that are bound and set them free. We want to be the most productive year we've ever had. Every one of us, God is trying to speak to your hearts even this morning. Get ready for communion. The men are going to come.